The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we're coming to you live from a couple of places on the internet. We're live on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, of course, Kick, Instagram, Twitch.
Kick.
We're back on Kick. This is great. We're kicking the kick. We kick the kick, and now we're kicking it back. I don't know. Anyway,
we've been in heavy talks with Kick for weeks.
And trying to get that Kick deal done.
Back on the platform. Yes, exciting.
So, folks, we have a special show for you tonight. Normally, we have a guest on the show and talk to them, but we decided, you know what, forget it. We don't need a guest this week. We're going to do our own thing. We're going to do our own thing with the three of us. And in fact, on the eve, we are, as we're taping this, mere hours away from the debut of the latest Marvel TV show, Wonder Man,
on Disney Plus.
We should. We're going to log off immediately after this, watch all 8 episodes because they're dumping it. Always a good sign. And
like
we are going to celebrate that by breaking down our lists of the best Marvel TV shows of all time. Now, a couple of little things about that. We're going to talk about our philosophy in a second, but just to lay out for you guys how this show is going to work. Each of us came up with a top 10 list of Marvel TV shows based on our own criteria. Normally we get like pretty specific with the rules here, but we decided Outback Steakhouse, no rules, just right.
No rules, just right. No, yeah, wow. That's right.
Just blooming onions.
Just blooming onions, yeah, just all the way down.
2,000 calories straight to the dome.
Yeah! So since we normally set this stuff, we will talk about like what we were thinking about when we were going into our lists. We are then going to give you our top 5 all at the same time. And this is going to be a surprise for us. We're going to see what our top 5
is. Yeah, we haven't seen each other's lists.
Number 4, yes. Number 3, etc. And then we're going to go through the top 10 lists and talk about them as well. But at the same time, there has been a very healthy discussion that's been fascinating to watch over in our Patreon Discord. If you want to join that, patreon.com/comicbookclub, where folks have been dropping their own top 5 or top 10 lists. It's been really cool to see. And it's also been really cool to see how everybody thinks about it differently, brings different things like this is how I form my list, not just different shows, but different ways of approaching it. So last thing I'm going to say, and then I'll stop monologuing, is we didn't restrict it to just the MCU. God. It's all Marvel shows of all time. Just so everybody is aware. But why don't we talk about it? Like, what was your philosophy? I mean, I could start off, but I've been talking for a while. Justin, what was your philosophy when you were approaching this list?
Yeah, well, Justin, can you please stop the madness so we don't have to endure it for any longer?
Increasing the madness. As Alex said, we are going to tell you our thinking, which makes it sounds like we're usually just firing off opinions with no bearing or background, which is sounding more true the longer we talk about it. But my thinking on this, like, I really thought about what TV is and what it means. Unlike the MCU or movies, which are a single composed item, they're like an OGN when it comes to this. And TV is sort of closer to the medium, where, especially with my list, discoverability was a big thing. There are some moments of watching these different shows where I was like, you just have that feeling of you feel very seen, or you just get super excited about something. I think TV has a much more of a capability to surprise, a lot like comics, where you meet characters or creators or whoever, and they just really catch you off guard with how great the work is. And so that's why the list, I was literally watching Ultra Force, a show that I love the Ultraverse, that when the comic line came out, Marvel bought it, and I'd never seen this animated show before. And I was like, this is wild that this came out. I somehow missed it, but this was a Marvel Comics television production. And so, yeah, that was, I was wowed today about that. But in general, I think it's a very emotional and very like reactive list that I
made. Pete, what about you? What was your criteria?
Well, I feel really underprepared because Justin started with the question, what is television? You know, yeah. So I feel a little bit underbaked here. But
he was like, how many times can I say Punisher?
Well, for me, I went to my numbers. Like, I went back to, you know, like,
Beautiful Mind.
How many times did I view something? You know, like, how many, you know, because I like to have things on in the background when I'm doing stuff. And it also is discovering it again when you're kind of in a different light, watching it again. But also, for me, like, you know, I realized maybe I made a mistake or whatever, but I feel like animated shows, you know, are a little different. So that, like, when I think of TV shows, yeah, I grew up watching Saturday morning cartoons and watched a lot of animated stuff. Batman the Animated Series is one of my favorite television shows of all time.
Hard to keep it in this list, I would argue.
Yeah, but I just think that, like...
Oh, no, that's my number one. Hold on, I gotta...
I just was thinking, like, you know, I saw people on the Discord talk about animated stuff, and I was like, oh, crap, like, I was just thinking that separately. Like, I have a kind of favorite animated shows, but I also have, like, favorite live-action TV shows, and that's the list that I did.
Okay.
I didn't want to cross the streams. I just thought, like, okay, are we talking about anime? Because nobody said animated. People said Marvel TV shows, so I just assumed...
Pete, starting with an apology.
Well, just to translate, so Pete, you're saying animation is not TV. Like, it doesn't count.
Oh, how dare you? No, I think that's...
I hear what you're saying. I'm not going to promise that Justin and I didn't cross the streams, as you said. I will say, right. I think it's a great idea to do a separate animated list at some point as well, because I agree with you, like... Just to transition into what I was thinking, there was certain a little bit of like apples to oranges there in terms of those shows. Like, are they weighted as evenly? And I think they are. I think animation is on the same par as live action TV. But the big thing that I think I thought about more than anything else was the sum total of the seasons of the shows, because a lot of these shows, particularly the multiple season shows, have like a good season and a bad season, you know, if there's two of them, and maybe more than that, or maybe more 50-50 if there's more seasons beyond that. And I found I was weighing...
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., perhaps.
Perhaps that's one that went through my head a lot. I don't know. But
that has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has a good minute, and then a bad minute, and then a worse minute
sometimes. Take it easy.
I will actually say, like, not to get into a specific example, but like... Every season of Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., I remember watching it be like, one half of the season, I'd be like, okay, they're back on track now. And then you watch the second half season and be like, no, they're not.
Yeah, and, they don't even know where the track is.
And it's frustrating. And I know, to be clear, like, we are not slagging off anybody's opinions. Everybody has different opinions. Everybody just likes somebody. Lots of people's favorite show is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so no dismissal there or anything like that. But like... That's what I was doing a lot, was being like, does the bad outweigh the good, and where does that ultimately weigh up at the end of the day? Because there's some shows that have absolutely fantastic seasons. Does the next bad season outweigh that, or vice versa? So I don't know. I don't know why that specifically was at top of mind, but I think that played out a lot through my list.
That's interesting. I mean, I feel like we don't ever judge comics that way. The Amazing Spider-Man. We'd never be like, great comic across the board, because all, you know, 8,000 issues stack up. It's much more like individual runs. But with TV, I understand, because it's more like judging a movie, where it's like, but you would never say, I love the second act of Avengers Endgame.
Zelbin says that bullshit all the time. I think that, like, he likes to divide things in halves and all that kind of stuff. But I think Jessica Jones season one.
Well, hold on.
Is a hold on.
You're getting into specifics now.
Too deep.
That's my fault. I led us down this road. Any other overall thoughts about Marvel TV before we start to get into it? Yes, Justin.
Justin, are you okay?
No, he has a ghost behind him. Don't even worry about it.
Are you being attacked?
I think I am being attacked. My big question is, Pete, were you able to justify putting Ted Lasso in this list because Brett Goldstein played Hercules in one scene in an
episode? Why didn't I think of that? God damn it.
Just look at the numbers.
Let's do a top 20. Ted Lasso, I can squeeze it in there.
All right. Should we get into this? Should we do our top five? Sound good?
Sure. You don't want to do top 10?
Well, we are. Again, I'll just explain this for nobody.
We already explained it, Pete. You'll follow along.
Yeah. Will he? I guess we'll see. All right. Here we go. So we got our best Marvel TV shows. And for anybody listening to the podcast, there's a very light visual element here.
I like what you did here, Alex.
Thank you. Yeah. I don't think you need to worry about it too much, but I'm just mentioning if anybody is listening to the podcast, they can go check it out on YouTube for the full video. All right, so here we go. So we got our three lists, our top five, Pete, Justin, and Alex. Again, I'm going to bring us all up for the number five at the same time. So here we go. 3, 2, 1. Number five is Kabam. Nice. And we've got for those listening.
Cloak and Dagger.
So we got Pete's number five is Agent Carter. Justin's number five, oh my gosh, it's covered by a little thing. Justin, what is your number five?
Daredevil.
Daredevil. And my number five is Cloak and Dagger, which, given the colors, I'm sorry, is a little hard to read. Let's talk about it. Pete, why did you choose Agent Carter for your number five?
Well, it's a great show. Also, we kind of get that fantastic payoff of one of the great relationships in the MCU in, the last Avengers. So, we got that happy ending finally. So, yeah, I think she's amazing as Agent Carter. I also think that it's great to see a young Tony Stark and that whole relationship. It's just there's a fun and a lightness about that show. And I think they did such a great job with it. And she's such a great character, and I think it was just handled so well. I knew what I was getting every episode, and I feel like they did a great job delivering. So, amazing acting, great episodes. Yeah, this was awesome.
I mean, this show is great. It's a well-made show, and the real star is the star. Hayley Atwell is so good in this role.
Yeah.
This actually reminds me, I just wanted to mention one other factor that played in pretty heavily in my list is, did I watch all of the show? And the answer with Agent Carter is, I did not. And that's nothing against it. But I remember I watched like the first half of the season was like, hey, this is pretty good. And they got it distracted by something else. So I didn't feel comfortable ranking it, but I know it's a very good show.
Well, and same. Like I feel like the show didn't hook me as much as I wanted it to, but I think it had a lot of great elements going for it. And I think the first couple episodes were great.
What about Daredevil? Why is that at number five, Justin?
I mean, it's a great show. To take in some of your thoughts, Alex, of like across the whole series, I wouldn't say I thought it was like it's good, but it lost steam and went through different peaks and valleys.
How dare you?
But I just remember like when that first came out, what a revelation it was. Great casting across the board.
Foggy.
Except for Foggy didn't make a ton of sense.
Come on, man.
In a lot of ways. But otherwise, the hallway fights, like it made it created a genre of fight for us.
Yeah, and the hallway fight, yeah.
It was the first in a new type of show. It was something that I think there was so much excitement built for it. We got to it, and it was able to back the hype. And I feel like especially that first season just had so much going for it.
And you want to talk about star power. Like, he is such a great Daredevil. He is such a great Matt Murdock. Like, just absolutely killed this role.
Yeah. He's still playing it. Yeah. He's still playing it.
Yeah. It's still going on.
And sorry, the Cox Rocks.
The Cox Rocks. That's what we all say.
A lot of people listening to this are probably mouthing the Cox Rocks because that's the way we talk about Daredevil.
And I picked Cloak and Dagger. I mean, that was a show that we did a podcast for. And to be fair, I haven't gone back and rewatched it since we did the podcast. But whenever I think about it, I think about how strong every single episode individually was emotionally and thematically. And I remember us talking about it as like, oh, they just crushed it this episode again. Okay, well, next episode probably isn't going to work. And then it would again and again and again. Setting it in New Orleans, it felt
like... We had a correspondent live on the streets.
We had a live correspondent that has less to do with the show and more to do with our podcast.
Oh, reaction.
But I do think the way that it set it in New Orleans and was really outside the rest of the MCU stuff gave it very much its own flavor. Really strong leads on this show as well.
Alex, did you only consider shows that we did podcasts for? Is that why?
Yep, that's no, it.
That's let's be honest, most of them. Just real quick, from our correspondent for Cloak and Jabber, he posted this. Whoops. My son's birth was announced in that podcast, and I have it saved on my phone.
So, oh, come on.
Meaningful from Stray Bullet. Stray Bullet. Announce a lot of births on our show.
We do. Yeah.
So feel free to hit us up.
One of the big things on our Cloak and Jabber podcast was we'd read the birth announcements for the paper.
We read all the births in New Orleans.
So Brooklyn, more of a
welcome to the world.
But, you know, there you go. All right. Shall we move on with our number four picks?
Yes.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1 again. And Pete's got Daredevil at number four. Justin has WandaVision. And I have Wonder Man.
That's illegal.
What?
That's illegal. We haven't even seen that show. You can't do that.
Hold on.
Sorry for yelling in people's ears. Apology. What the? That's illegal. That's a legal move.
I have
yellow
seen
card.
I have. It's a yellow logo. I'll give you that. I have seen all of Wonder Man, and I am of the opinion it might be a little recency bias, but it really is.
It's precency bias.
Precency bias. Yeah, it hasn't even come out yet. It really is that good. Like I absolutely
Derek
loved it.
Main heart.
I'm so excited to. I mean, it is cheating. I agree, but. I'm so excited to hear that because Wonder Man is a character close to my heart, sort of like
you love Wonder
out
Man.
Of left field, something the MCU has done a lot of, and it has more often than not worked. So the fact that this show that has everything going against it is number four on Alex's list.
And this is based on you, right? He was a line producer in real life.
What?
Yes. No, I'm not a line producer. Neither is.
Yes, you were.
I mean, watching the show, Pete is making jokes here, but this is a show for anybody who doesn't know the concept of Wonder Man. Stars Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, because it's not out yet. Yahya Abdul-Mateen II is Simon Williams, an actor who finds out they're rebooting his favorite movie from the 80s, Wonder Man, and he desperately wants to get the main role. He teams up with Ben Kingsley as Trevor Slattery.
Dude, just don't spoil the show
it's
for
not,
us.
That's the plot this description. Watch it.
Also, this is from the comics.
Right. So anyway, I'm excited for you to watch it, Justin. I know Pete is making incomprehensible jokes, but it is a show that is all about acting. So I do think you are going to like that quite a bit. That is my pick. Do you want to talk about WandaVision?
Sure. I mean, not to keep this thing of discoverability and sort of like having your being able to watch something for the first time. Daredevil was the first of the Netflix shows, and they hit really well for that. WandaVision was the first MCU show, and even though it had the fraught press about it, like, oh, it wasn't supposed to go first, it was this and that. This was the perfect start to this. It got us into a weird place. It was a TV show about TV, which I think worked in its favor. It felt like a movie, felt like the MCU movies, but we were able to watch it as episodic television. It was weirder than it needed to be, something I thought the MCU was going to carry on with. Instead, they sort of lost that, I think, but this show really had the eye-opening thing when it first came out. And good. Also, this came out right as we were going into pandemic and all of that, I believe, and that felt like it was of a time.
Yeah. And Pete, I know we talked about Daredevil, but do you want to talk about Daredevil from your perspective?
Well, I also want to talk about WandaVision real quick. You know, I'm just kind of trying to get over the fact that this whole idea was for you to nut flex all over us, the fact that you've seen the fucking show ahead of time. And when you're like, hey, I got this great idea. I get to brag about what I did.
I've never heard Netflix said with such hatred.
WandaVision is great. Was great. Is great. It really did such a great job of resetting expectations of what a show could do. All the genre hopping, all the fun it was having. So, and amazing cast. Yeah, it had a pocket and stayed in it, and it was glorious. I loved WandaVision. It's just for me, like, and this is, you know, just me personally, it's not as rewatchable because I feel like it has so many things going on. It's not as much a background thing, but it could be fun just to look at. But for me, I don't know why. I just, I don't know. Yeah, but oh, I love the show.
Is rewatchability a, like, number, like, our top three consideration when you think of something that you like, especially, obviously, TV?
Yeah, because I like living in it. I like revisiting it, going back, and just kind of, like, you know, cool moments or badass shit. Just nice.
Do you rewatch Agent Carter? I have a feeling you do rewatch Daredevil. But yeah. Agent Carter, do you rewatch?
Yeah, yeah, it's great. Mm-hmm. It's just such a, you look even over at the screen. Going. And you see them doing their thing, and it's just like, yeah, you know.
So do you, because I don't get this, like, I need to concentrate on whatever I'm doing. I can't have a TV going in the background, otherwise that's where my eyes go all the time. But I know you watch Mad Men all the time in the background, Justin. Pete, too you much. Always have the TV going as well?
Yeah, well, not always, but yeah, when I'm working on stuff, it helps me focus.
Interesting.
It is funny to put something on to help you focus, but... A lot of times when if I'm not doing heavy creative work, if I'm just like answering emails or editing or some more mindless stuff, yes, especially Mad Men lately, I know Mad Men by heart at this point.
Well, hold on. I don't want to spoil your number two pick.
Also, but also like, you know, the music and that kind of stuff also can kind of keep you in a mood, get you in a, you know, like.
Yeah.
And I can't.
I think you treat TV like a lot of people treat music, which is really interesting. That's such a, I don't know. I mean, your brain is a mystery to me, and I've known you for like half of my life at this point.
But the first time, I can't be doing something else. Like the first time watching it, I want to sit down and really kind of soak it in. It's just after that.
Well, real quick, not real quick, doesn't need to be real quick, but Pete, talk about Daredevil at number four.
Yeah, just as we kind of mentioned, it's really set in an amazing bar. And also set such a kind of cool tone. Daredevil has its own kind of feel in its own New York. And I feel like they capture that from the comics so well in the TV show. The casting felt like they were kind of pulled out of the comic, which was great. You know, we also got great Punisher moments on Daredevil. You know, like just a really fantastic show, so well casted. And the fact that it's reborn and going again also says so much.
Yeah. All right. Well, why don't we go to number three? Here we go. And poof. All right. Pete's got Legion at number three. Justin has X-Men 97. And I've got WandaVision at number three. Ooh. So why don't we go, Pete, we'll go back to you first, not to make you talk twice in a row, but why Legion at number three?
Well, Legion was such a vibe like that. Was so weird. It was tripped out, but hilarious and amazing. And, you know, I mean, come on, you know, just the cast. I mean, just characters, like just fun ass, unbelievable characters on that show. They did weird, crazy stuff. It reminded me of just something that's like a Lock and Key where you're like, scared, but like really impressive visuals and crazy stuff. You were living in people's heads, like people were jumping bodies. It was awesome. It really felt like a comic book come to life in such the best ways. It was so creative.
And you probably wouldn't mention this, but a character I loved was played by Aubrey Plaza. So I don't know if so I really appreciate that about this show.
Yeah, I mean, the Plaza is a whole separate conversation, but...
Pete's always popping in for a visit to the Plaza.
Yeah, save that for our Plaza rankings.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
I mean, where Nakatomi would you rank, Plaza, like... also pretty good Plaza. Pete yeah. loves... Pete, right now, rank Nakatomi and Aubrey Plaza. Which is better? Which do you prefer?
Well, I mean, you know, Nakatomi around the holiday seasons because it is the best Christmas movie, so...
Is Aubrey Plaza a Christmas movie?
I'm sure there's one or two.
We're veering into absolute nonsense. I apologize for taking us.
Yeah, well, why don't we go over to X-Men 97 at number three, Justin? I thought animated shows were bad, according to Pete, so I'm confused why this is on your list.
Here's the thing. If you squint at this show, it gets live action. I my emotions are live action when I'm watching it. I mean, this show just has, like, yes, there were some episodes that were, you know, not killer, I think, but man, the highs were so high. How often do you cry at this hard at an animated show or any show on this list? The episode we all know about, the Gambit episode, is amazing. This show had such fidelity to the mission to pick up from on a very insane continuity from the original X-Men cartoon and take it forward. Modern storytelling rooted in the past. Great animation that took an old style and elevated it. Like, this show just, it again, set a bar and just nailed it. I can't wait.
I think I know what your number one is now, Justin.
Ooh. Really? All right. Don't say it. Keep it in your head and let us know if you were right. I will add on, I'll agree with everything that Justin said about WandaVision before. And I'll just add on the like slight negative there that I think this would have ranked even higher if it wasn't for the finale of the show specifically.
Good call.
Which, it's so innovative and so creative, and then just devolves into two people blasting each other with colors. And there's still some really great moments in the finale, but it becomes MCU. It becomes setting up the next bunch of projects. It tees up the ball instead of really closing everything that it needed to say there at the end. And that's a little bit of a bummer. It brings it down a little bit, but still,
well, and
the
like,
good
was like
is so good.
The original sin of all of these projects, it was exemplified the problems, that the cracks that were going to come into Marvel television specifically.
Yeah, but the other thing is the craft inherent in everything that they're doing, the way that they parodied all these different genres, these different eras of television was so incredibly well done. Great performances throughout. So really love that show. All right, shall we get into our top two here? Here we go. They are Pete's is Luke Cage, Cloak Justin's is Cloak and Dagger, and cool. Mine is Daredevil.
Oh, wow.
Daredevil with some really showing up.
Yeah, so I'll actually start with that if that's okay. I was shocked, frankly, that I ranked this so high. Like, this was the
Me
thing
too.
That
and
I
wait,
checked.
Just real quick before you get into it. To set parameters, is this is just the original Netflix show, not Born Again?
No, this is everything. This is okay. Daredevil, because they gave it a different name, but Daredevil Born Again in my mind really is season 4 of Daredevil. I don't know what the original version of it was. That clearly, as far as been reported, was a different thing, but the way it ended up, they just continued the show on a different streamer, and that's pretty much it. And that was a large part of it. You know, that cumulative thing that I was talking about earlier. When Daredevil Born Again was coming out, I went back and rewatched the series because it had been, I don't know, a decade or whatever it is. And the first season is great. And the second season is not so great. And then the third season is, again, really great. And then Daredevil Born Again was also great. So there's even some good stuff in the second season. Like, we get Jon Bernthal's Punisher, that's excellent.
Yeah.
Elodie Young, I think, is Elektra, who's also excellent.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really come together. And it does exactly what we were just talking about with WandaVision, where it spends too much time trying to set up Defenders and all this mythology stuff that doesn't really work. But it set the tone for everything that has come since, not just the Netflix shows, but I really think part of the reason that they brought it back, not I think, I know part of the reason that they brought it back is the frequent refrain throughout the MCU Disney Plus era has been like, I wish it was more like Daredevil. Like, why don't you make it more like Daredevil? What if it was more like Daredevil? Like, it's been held to this lofty height the entire time. And I really do think it stands up to it. So even with that not quite great second season that's a little janky and some choices here and there, even in Born Again that don't quite work, it sets the tone that for everything that has come since.
Well, it's interesting, like, in the context, like you just laid out, like, Netflix era ended and everyone was like, oh, so many mistakes. And then MCU era hit. And it was like, this is exciting. And it was like, wow, I missed the Netflix era, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But also, when I was going through this list, I had a hard time putting a lot of the Netflix shows on because I feel like the trajectory was just downhill for most of them. And I can't help but think about how badly Defenders and Iron Fist tarred all of the other Netflix.
Well, I think that's to jump around. Let's go over to Pete and talk Luke Cage, because that is the first other Netflix show that's popped up on this list. I have a few suspicions here, but Pete, why Luke Cage at number two?
Luke Cage is just first off, the casting was phenomenal. Okay. The action was glorious. The music was unbelievable. I immediately went out and bought the soundtrack. Just really smart.
And buying a soundtrack in the 21st century is crazy in general.
Yeah, I mean, I got the album. Like, I was hyped. Like, they did such a great job of, like, each episode was, like, a song. And, like, it was just so well thought of. The villains were so great. That scene where he pulls off a car door and is perfectly synced up to the music as he goes through each floor, kicking everybody's butt, and just unbelievable. It was just such a great combination of music and fun, and also just amazing shots. Like, there's some of the shots of Harlem were just really great. Oh, I can rewatch it. I can put it on anytime. It makes me happy. It's a vibe. And just seeing those characters portrayed that way, it was just so cool. It was really, really well done.
Adanto 01 was had a comment I was about to say. That I listened to Long Live the Chief from Luke Cage countless times because of the show. Hope to see Cage again. I do love that track. Yeah. But hearing you talk, Pete, this show is a perfect Venn diagram connection of superheroes getting into badass fights, hip-hop, and cars being around. It's like right in your sweet spot.
And Justin, Cloak and Dagger at number 2. I know I added a number 5, but why? Oh, you're playing the track. We're going to get shut down for that. We can't afford that. Cut it off. Cut it off.
You got 14 seconds before they cut us off. Cloak and Dagger. You talked about it a little bit, Alex, but like the big things about this show were like emotional core. This show just like you felt everything that the characters were feeling. Which I think in a show where in a lot of superhero shows, they don't always nail that because we end up in the WandaVision problem of it being shooting different colored special effects at each other. This show was able to use the superpowers as metaphors for the characters. It spoke to their relationship. We got to see two different worlds. But the biggest thing and something that our correspondent exemplified was the sense of place. Like this show had New Orleans like woven into it. It felt like an extension of New Orleans as the backdrop. And really, whoever the location scout for this show was crushed it. Like,
I went to the music store.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we've been down there. We've been to these places because of a show that was, like, barely seen and grievously underwatched in my memory. And this show just holds up so hard as something that was so rare in all of these lists, all of these shows we're talking about. Of having the qualities of emotionality, sense of place, and just great superhero action.
All right, we're about to get to the number one. I do want to mention, because in the comments over here, we're getting a lot of shows shouted
roasted.
Out. If it's not in the number one, hang out for a second, because we are going to be talking about our top 10, and there's a lot more shows in it there. But
also, it's hard. Like, people are mentioning great shows, and they are great.
They're mentioning many great shows and also Inhumans.
All right. But it's hard to make a list, you know. I don't want to discount.
No one anything. Is earnestly mentioning Inhumans. I would argue.
All right, shall we do this? Shall we reveal our number one picks? Here we go. 3, 2, 1. And
what?
Pete chooses the Punisher. Big surprise. And Justin and I both chose Legion as our number one show.
Could have called that.
Why don't we talk about Legion first, just because it's...
How can you have X-Men 97 and not have X-Men? Like, what?
Well, hold on. Let's talk about Legion, Justin. I put this as number one because this is not just my favorite Marvel show, and I think the best Marvel show, but one of the best TV shows ever, period, put on TV. Incredible seasons, unlike anything else that has been ever put on television. Surreal visuals, beautiful performances, and challenging material. I mean, I think something that this did that no other show really did was it allowed, or at least no other Marvel show did, is it allowed the hero to go bad. He made bad choices a lot, even sort of horrible choices that made him a reprehensible character and let him slightly work back from there, but not get utterly redeemed by the end. And that's shocking. That's not the sort of thing that you get from a superhero show. It took X-Men ideas and peppered them throughout, but without feeling beholden to the mythology, but it still felt true to it at the same time. Just an utterly fantastic show from front to back.
It was like it used all the tools of prestige television in a way that none of the other shows we're talking about did. It used other different types of storytelling. Like, think about how the Shadow King was represented in so many different ways. It was no Holly just like introducing himself to television. Now he's gone on to make so many other amazing shows. Being able to take superhero ideas and bend them, shape them, but still have great fights. All the other characters that were introduced in the last two seasons, I think, were awesome. And definitely, this is a show that like I haven't rewatched, but like putting this list together made me want to go back and just rewatch this top to bottom because I have such flashes of the genius of it.
Yeah, I mean, hearing you talk, I'm just thinking through the whole cast and like just to mention too, Amber Midthunder and Bill Irwin.
Oh yeah, Bill Irwin.
Absolutely fantastic. Amazing. Just the rest of the cast. Amazing, amazing
stuff. It's amazing to say those two names because it's like a young actor's first job and a legend of theater doing a TV job. It's crazy they were on the same show playing sort of equal size parts in this superhero show.
Crazy. Pete, why The Punisher for number one?
Well, you know, rewatchability first and foremost, but also like it's heartbreaking to see people saying they Amber Love was like, you broke my heart. And that's not why we wanted to do this list. We don't want to make you feel bad.
That is why I wanted to do this list.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't feel bad for liking something more than we did or whatever. We all
we haven't
still
even seen
love
Wonder Man. It's on this list, of course.
Yeah. I mean, we got to see
I've
Wonder
seen
Man.
Yet. I saw it. I've seen the whole season. I just wanted to mention that. I don't know if
I saw it.
Yeah, Punisher is just, it's an unbelievable cast. You know, I mean, come on. Bernthal does such an amazing job with it. He elevates it. And it's comfort food. You know what I mean? I could put it on before I go to bed. I can watch it when I wake up. I can, you know, it's just great.
Cool.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.
All right, there we go. There is our top five, but there are plenty more shows like we talked about. So briefly, we're going to go through each of our individual top tens. So Pete, we're going to go to you first. Talk about the ones that didn't quite make the top five. Here we go. I'll read them off for anybody. At number six, you got Jessica Jones. Number seven, you got Loki. Eight, Hawkeye. Nine is She-Hulk. And 10 is Moon Knight. Pete, chat about this.
Yeah,
you just got the whole slate.
Yeah, Jessica Jones is just so good, especially season one, so well casted. I love the kind of grit of who she is and how badass she can be, and I feel like in season one really got to kind of see that. And Loki was just so, I mean, just so fun. You know, like we got so many cool, like just Easter eggs and fun stuff. And, you know, Kiwi Wong is just unbelievable. And it's just great stuff. Hawkeye, I had such a blast with that. The bros, the moving bros, that was just so funny. And like all the kind of madness and mayhem that was. And she's just so good. She-Hulk. Love the music, love the vibe, love the casting. It was just a blast. And her and kind of like Daredevil was fun. And you know, Moon Knight, I loved, you know, rewatching it. And
you're so sad. You're trailing off at the end.
Well, it's, you know, I... It's hard to explain why I love something, but
Pete, did Moon Knight make you put this on here?
No. Yeah. No, I love Moon Knight.
Great.
A lot of people are asking why you don't have X-Men on the list, Pete.
Because I was doing not animated. I was animated to me is a whole separate thing because, yeah, I mean, the X-Men, the animated show, I mean, I logged so many hours watching that. That would be, you know, like my number one or number two. So, but yeah, I for me, I thought we were doing a non-animated list. And so, yeah.
It's too bad we'll never know. Yeah. But I guess.
Alas. All right. Why don't we move on to Justin's list? This is your top 10. Other, starting at number six, we got Generation X, the TV movie, a classic Justin cheat, if there ever was one.
It's not a cheat, it's on TV. You won't find that in
Spider-Man, the animated series, I believe we're talking about one from 94, right?
Correct. Agatha, wow.
Okay, we got Incredible Hulk, the original one, Jessica Jones, and then Agatha All Along. Justin...
Yes.
So it just said, shut up, Justin.
I'm getting that's a shut up, Justin from, I believe that's David McKay. Yeah, the Generation X TV.
Yes, and just to mention, like, can I frame this up? Like, you're the oldest one on the podcast.
That's not, I'm the youngest one on the show.
No, Pete and I have, like, youthful choices, and you have old man choices. So go ahead, explain yourself.
It's not old man choices. Like I said, this is about discoverability. And when the Generation X TV movie came on, even though it is...
Wait, TV movie?
Yes, and by the way, I don't know if you remember a couple of minutes back when Justin was like, you cheated by putting on a whole TV show that hasn't aired yet, and then Justin on his list had a TV movie that never aired.
Which, after starting with what is TV, really seems dicey.
TV movies is TV. Okay, they are TV. This movie
This is a list of TV, best Marvel TV shows, says it right out of the top there.
100%. And this was a TV show that only ended up getting one episode on the air. Believe me, I'm sure they thought they were going to make more of this. But this TV movie, when it was on, because this was like, I love this comic. This came out pretty quickly after the Generation X comic. And I was like, I didn't think that was possible to have something that way, that fast, that I knew and liked, that came went from my hand to the television so quickly. And even though this is like a messy, very cheaply made TV movie, it hit me in the heart. Like, I can't not put it on here. So getting that in there, Spider-Man animated show. I came home from school every day as a kid and watched the shit out of this show. I can't believe how many episodes of this they made. It feels like they told every Spider-Man story. There's shit that happens in that show that I'm like, no way. The Spider Slayers are in like 900 episodes. So insane that has to have a place on here. The original Incredible Hulk, that show is so weird and so emotional and twee. It's the Incredible Hulk, and they made the saddest show possible. That's also crazy. And like thinking about David Bruce Banner, as he was known back then.
Are you talking about the animated one or the live action?
The original live action.
Wow.
Bill Bixby.
Nice, dude. Sick pull.
Again, they didn't call him Sick Bruce pull. Banner because they thought Bruce was not manly enough of a name. So they called him David Bruce Banner. Embarrassing choice, TV. But this show was so like twee and weird, and it was featuring Marvel's most smash character. This show lives in the culture. Got to talk about it. Jessica Jones, I think, excellent. From the Netflix shows, probably the most thoughtful of the Netflix shows and dealing with bigger ideas than what was in they needed to. And Agatha All Along, more recency bias here, but I thought that show, in an era where the MCU television shows were struggling, I think they put together a quality show, perhaps about to be overtaken by Wonder Man.
Plus The Plaza, you know what I mean?
I'm not old. I wasn't sitting – everyone's calling me old. I wasn't sitting here as a man watching these shows. These are – you don't watch old stuff? That doesn't mean I'm old.
No, just new stuff for me. Skateboarding and smoking cigarettes behind the school.
Nothing fresher than cigarettes.
All right, and here's my list, my full list. So at number six, I put X-Men 97, then the 7, Punisher. Agatha All Along, 8, Hawkeye, 9, Jessica Jones, and 10, what did I put there? Punisher, there we go. So to talk down it, X-Men 97, that was pretty close. I think it was just that, like, I don't know, this is unfair, because there are some other one-season shows on there, but, like, I waffled about putting it in the top five a little bit, and then ultimately it just kind of ended up at number six. Number seven for Agatha All Along, all the stuff that you said, Justin, and I just think, like, there are some problems with that show sometimes, but it just hit in a sweet spot where I got excited about every episode as it was coming on. It just had such a great feel to it. It felt spooky and Halloween-y, and all the performances were good. I was very excited to have theorizing back in the MCU, which felt like it went away for a while. Things that I was actually excited to talk about. And Catherine Hahn, just so good as Lois the Plaza. Hawkeye is one that I was surprised to throw on here, but it's just a fun show. Like, it's I think about it like it was fun, it was funny, it was breezy. Haley Steinfeld is great on it. I don't usually like Jeremy Renner, but this used him exactly right. Having Vincent D'Onofrio show up as the classic kingpin was a lot of fun. Just a fun show across the board. The appearance by Florence Pugh as well, the mac and cheese scene. Great stuff.
Hilarious. I will say this show was my 11th pick, but it got pushed out because the premise and expectation of the show was so high. They just nailed it so hard in what they were doing and couldn't pull off the execution of that.
I'm just surprised that you have X-Men 97 and not X-Men. Like,
I've said this on the podcast many times.
He didn't watch it.
I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched a couple of episodes here and there, but I never watched all of X-Men, the animated series.
So go back and watch it.
Sure. All right. No, it's an old show, old man. Jessica Jones, fantastic first season. You could probably put a gun to my head and I could not tell you what happened in season two or three. Maybe something with Nuke, and I think Patsy maybe becomes Hellcat at some point, but like just a bad second season, and then a third season so terrible I forgot it existed. Like, I have a pretty good memory for TV shows. I could not remember that at all. And then the last one, The Punisher, that's, sorry, Pete, a very 50-50 for me, where the first season is fantastic. First season is excellent. Jon Bernthal, excellent. Second season, pretty bad. So that just sort of evens out. And I will throw out there, I don't remember where it hit on my list, but Derek had said that he was surprised Loki wasn't in my top five. That one, I think, suffers even worse because the first season is great. The second season is bad, but they're basically structured as like two halves of the same season. So that second half really drags down the first half versus The Punisher, where they're their own distinct units in a certain way.
Oh, interesting. So I thought for sure Loki was going to be on your list.
First season, great. Second season, really left a bad taste in my mouth. So there you go. And we're getting lots of other notes in here from other
getting
things.
Getting roasted in the comments.
We're getting roasted. Roasted and toasted, I would say. Pretty much. Well, there you go. There are our best Marvel lists. Any final thoughts here?
Easy Reader's just booing us. Oh, man.
Tough.
Yeah.
With love.
We're losing views right now. The people TV are like good. Leaving the show.
Yeah, people are taking down our podcast. I didn't think they could do that.
Wow. Yeah, that's not fair.
Any final thoughts on this list? Any
TV's good, and I like TV.
Yeah. I mean, that's the basic thing, is that like we watch all of this all the time. So it's not like even the bad stuff, even the stuff we didn't mention. So
let me be honest. My big takeaway here is I'm hyped for Wonder Man.
Yeah.
Which is coming out like in minutes.
Yeah, in mere minutes. All right, folks, we have plenty more show to go, so we're going to kick it off with our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It is your audience questions. And for audience questions, all you got to do is drop a question in the comments. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions about our choices here, so we can certainly get into there. Cocktail? Oh, Straight Bullet made a cocktail. Okay, yes, I would love one. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Why don't you guys talk about what you're drinking, and I will bring up the cocktail here since I missed that.
Justin, what do you got?
I had a Boulevardier with black walnut bitters, and it was a lovely winter treat.
Wow. That sounds real nice. I don't have a garage, but I got the beer.
Excellent. All right, here we go. This is going to be a little jankier than usual, and it's already pretty janky. But I'm going to bring up the recipe here. It's called Jolene Was Right or Drink Every Time Alex Says Structure. It's a vodka or silver tequila. I just said structure once, by the way. Oh, twice. Hold so on. Drink. Midori, fresh lime
Wait,
juice.
Alex, we're not seeing the. We're not yeah. seeing the.
Oh, you're not seeing it?
No.
Oh, boy. All right. See, I told you it was going to be janky. Here, hold on 1 second.
No, that's right.
Keep talking. To say something.
Say anything. We can answer an audience question.
How's work going, man?
Wow, really good.
Really. Are you working
literally
on some...
like the worst question
you're what are you talking about? I want to know if he's working on some
I'm
cool
sorry,
TV
what's your,
show.
What's your major?
No, but like he works on cool stuff sometimes. I want maybe he's working on like
I work
cool...
on cool stuff. I do cool stuff yeah. too. Why
Alex was just
nobody's talking
in.
To you. You said for us to talk and now you're busting our fucking balls, man.
Well, anyway, here's the recipe. It's called Jolene Was Right or Drink Every Time Alex Says Structure. It has those recipe ingredients I mentioned earlier. Simple syrup, mint leaves, and a lime wedge, a splash of ginger beer, and some crushed ice. So there you go. Sounds pretty good. And mm-hmm. other than the two times I just said it, I think I only said it once. During
yeah, you didn't say structure as much as we expected you to.
Yeah. But there you go. Thank you, as always, for the cocktail, Stray Bullet. Go check out Stray Shift Bullies. If you're down in New Orleans. They got the meats, as we like to say.
Mm, yes.
All the delicious foods. They have Shift. All the foods.
We
all
have
right.
the meat.
Great. So here we go. Let's get some questions here. Audience question from Derek Maidhart. What are your top five DC shows? Go. I think we'll do that for another show.
Yeah, we should
yeah,
do that.
That'd be fun. Yeah.
I have...
Yeah.
$50 on Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, exactly.
Fred Destree says, have you guys seen the trailer for Daredevil Season 2? Did you guys watch it yet?
I have not watched
no.
it. I just saw that
oh,
it
it's great. Out. I watched it earlier today.
Did it drop today?
Yeah, I'm pretty hyped. It's just like a minute-long teaser that they clearly dropped to tie into Wonder Man. I don't know if they're going to play it like after the show or something like that. But yeah, it's just... Do you, can I say anything about it, Pete? Are you going to be like, spoilers?
I think you can say it.
Okay. So some great stuff in the look. It's, he took off his headphones. It starts off with Daredevil, Matt Murdock and Karen, like dancing and smiling and kissing. And then there's like an explosion. You get to see Kingpin beating the shit out of somebody in the boxing ring. Bullseye is enjoying a milkshake. You see Daredevil in the black costume. Jessica Jones is back and kicking ass throughout the trailer. Just builds really nicely. I am very hyped for that. I'm excited for the show.
Hell yeah. Great.
Nat Towson says, how could you?
I don't know what, exactly what this is about, but probably something from our lists. Oh, yeah. No, when we didn't put the animated Silver Surfer show on.
Yeah. No, that was like number 11 for me, for sure.
Yeah.
This from Christopher Sova, worst Marvel TV show, and what would you fix on it?
Ooh.
Worst one. What was at the bottom of your list? Mm. I mean, I called out Inhumans before. One thing I'd fix is not doing it, I guess.
Well, I mean, yeah. How would you fix that from top?
I mean, that, like...
The Medusa hair was a little...
The whole thing they did with the humans was they were like, okay, here are the Inhumans. They live on the moon. They have powers. What if they didn't live on the moon and none of them had powers? What are we thinking?
Yeah.
And that seems like their first mistake there versus leading into it. But that's an easy punching bag. What about something that you're like, that could have been a little better if they just did blank?
I mean, Runaways, that's a show I wanted to be much better than it.
I think that comes down to pace. That very much has the Marvel TV pace of like, why is this an hour long instead of 45 minutes? And if you just tightened it up a little bit, sped it up a little bit, maybe it'd be a little bit better. I don't know. This seems sad. Pete doesn't want to.
Moon Knight would be up on my list for
how dare
shows
you.
That really struggled in basically all areas.
Oscar Isaac is great, man. You don't think he's a good actor?
I think he's an excellent actor. It's especially hard to watch that show.
Yeah. Huh. All right. Pete seems upset about this discussion. So Nat says, what are Pete's top five animated Marvel shows? Pete, do you have something ready or
no,
should we save it for?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Give me some time, but X-Men would definitely be on there, man. I put a lot of hours
This is a question from Channel 19. How about those Bills? That feels like a mistake. Ooh. You guys want to talk about sports on this show, right?
No, not on this show. And we're far beyond the Bills. It's hard to even talk about the Bills in an era where the Pats are going to the Super Bowl.
That interception was bullshit.
Yeah. We're mad. Beat nine.
Gary Rom says, is there a shelved MCU TV project you really want to see?
Oh, interesting.
I mean, none of the same iteration, but there was a Power Pack pilot, and every iteration of Marvel TV, like whenever they're like, hey, we're booting up TV stuff, every single time in the first round of announcements, they're like, we're working on a Power Pack TV show, and it never happens. So I just feel like, do that. Like, it feels like such a no-brainer to do as an animated series in particular. I don't know what is holding them up. It's such a good all-ages property. It makes a lot of sense. And what you brought up here, Ken and Melissa LG says Blade, LOL. Like,
yeah, I would love.
Yeah.
There was a Blade show, wasn't there?
There was a Blade show, yes.
It wasn't released.
Yes, it was. It was released several seasons on Spike TV. You've never seen it, Pete?
No,
it is. When I was researching this list, it was. Yeah,
who did it star? It starred some name.
Was Mahershala Ali?
No, it wasn't Mahershala Ali. It came out. It came from David Goyer, who's done a ton of stuff. Starred Sticky Fingers.
Wow! Oh, yeah,
as Blade, and the pilot was by David Goyer and Jeff Johns. There were 13 episodes.
Well, I would like another one then.
Yeah, it's crazy to me that you haven't seen this, though.
It's probably seeable. You can find that piece.
Yeah. Blade the series. Check it out. Yeah.
I mean, I would throw out the new Warriors show that they were doing like 10 years ago.
The one with Melissa V.
Etheridge.
I'm forgetting your name.
Not Etheridge. That was going to be, I mean, it was going to be centered. It was Squirrel Girl was going to be a major, and it was a Freeform show, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Damage Control was often speculated. Another like good idea, but hard to execute, I feel like.
Yeah. Here's another good one. Best Marvel TV theme song. Spider-Blood.
X-Men. So,
yeah. X-Men, yeah. I think, edges Spider-Blood. Right. Spider-Blood, Spider-Man is a good song, but it's not a song I would ever be like, I'd love to hear that right now.
Does
a Bucky O'Hare count as a Marvel TV show?
It does not.
Interesting. Bad Guy says, Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special made me cry. Am I the only one anyone wanted to mention that one there? That was one I would have put on there if we were including TV specials, but of course we were not including
TV specials or
movies.
Not TV movies, not TV specials.
Hey, Alex, why don't you break some rules? I thought you were a disruptor. You were mentioning that earlier.
Yeah, that was great, though.
Like I always say, perfect is the enemy of good. yes, that is
take
a great
it easy,
one.
Ali.
Schreikler says, "What are some of your favorite TV shows that aren't based on comics?"
Well,
not this show, Schreikler.
Interesting, Schreik.
Here's one. Ted maybe Lasso? This is for you, actually, Justin, from Fred Destrees. How's the opinion of the Marvel animation of the '90s in general? I've been going through them, but Iron Man is painful.
I mean, I think it was like all animated television back then. If you didn't have the right people making it, it was bad. People didn't take it seriously. It was much more like, I mean, I shouldn't say that. People took it seriously, but it was just like, let's get this on the air. It was cheaper to do it and easier to make money off of just getting something on the air. So yeah, the quality is a little all over the place. I mean, you could compare it to DC animation, which I think has always had a little bit more deliberate, has always made more deliberate choices than Marvel animation.
Yeah. This is from Adanto, says hype levels for Vision Quest.
Well, Wonder Man being good, all we have to base on is Alex's list right now and his review is a good sign that Vision Quest could also be good.
Yeah.
It's a complicated continuity to start us in. So, got to see.
Vision Quest could be great, hopefully.
I'm excited for it. I think they know they have to live up to WandaVision and Agatha All Along in particular, that people view generally in high regard. I have not already seen it, Derek. That isn't coming out until the end of the year. But Terry Matalas, who is the showrunner, he, I've mentioned this a million times, but he did 12 Monkeys, which is a fantastic TV show. He also did Star Trek Picard Season 3, which was mixed, but at the same time, this sort of thing, Vision living in his head and exploring his identity, is something that's very much in Terry Matalas's wheelhouse. So, I don't know. I think there's every chance that it could work, particularly because Paul Bettany, if nobody else, is very into the character and is going to try to make sure they stick the landing. So, we'll see. Gary Rom says, "No, I have seen. I have not seen Vision Quest. I've
People
seen the
don't
original.
Believe I love it.
The movie that it's based on, Vision Quest.
I had a Vision Quest about the show Vision Quest, and Whoa. Let me say, it's pretty trippy.
Nice, dude. That's
yeah. The 1985 film with Matthew Modine and Linda Fiorentino. I had to.
What is television?
Another Modine Fiorentino joint. We're here for."
Oh, and Derek, we'll wrap up after this one, but Derek says, is it based on the Tom King comic? Maybe. They already used a lot of that for WandaVision, so we'll see how much they can still pull out for this. But
I bet it does have a lot of, because the WandaVision stuff they pulled wasn't very Vision centric, and it was just the elements. I bet this has a lot of the Vision POV in it.
And we're going to move on with our next section. Thank you all for your questions, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free to Midtown Comics Online, because if you had $25, you probably wanted to go to a comic book shop. You know what I mean? So we just need a first hand up, a pick me, a make Justin do it, whatever you want.
Oh, wow. I don't know. Is that an option?
Make Justin do it. Let's see. Anybody? No?
Bueller?
Bueller. $25? Free?
You Anybody? Want it. You need it. You love it.
If not, we can do it for charity.
No, someone just wait a second. There's a lag.
Yeah.
There you
Ooh,
go. Greater Good
says, I'll do it.
Ooh. All right. Thank you, Greater Good. Today's trivia is about the comic book Wrestle Heist, and a small nod to the legend, Kari Hiroyuki Togawa, RIP, so badass in the Mortal Kombat movie, finish him. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. In the amazing comic Wrestle Heist, who are they robbing? Is it A, crooked promoter, B, we here at Not Related to Villains can't hire you, C, Ryan Moriarty.
Related to Villains can't... Wait, what did you just say?
Moriarty? It's a play on the last name.
No, right before... Wait a second. What did you... Before that?
Peace dropping some Sherlock Holmes knowledge here.
Yeah, okay.
Would you say you're a scholar of Arthur Conan Doyle's work? Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's work.
Greater Good says A, unless Brooklyn has another answer. He's referring to Straight Bullet's son Brooklyn, who is also interested in playing. Is it A?
A is correct.
All right.
Shout outs to Brooklyn. Question number two. Kyle Starks is the amazing writer on Wrestle Heist, but who is the fantastic artist? Is it A, Kyle Starks? Ooh, tricky. B, I think you are way out of line. You are out of bounds, Michelle. C, Michelle Obi.
How's that spelled? How is her last name spelled?
O-B-I. Don't go too deep.
It's just Alex. OB?
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's out of bounds. It's OB. Yeah.
Okay.
She's OB. Huh. Pete's still burned by a lot of football calls this season.
Kyle Starks. That guy's great. Yes?
Correct.
All right.
Nice. It was a trick question. All right, here we go. Last one. Kyle Starks is the amazing artist on Wrestle Heist, but who does the incredible colors? Is it A, Vlad Popoff? Colors just pop. B, I'll be damned. You get all this cheese at the dam? C, Alan Dam.
Cheese?
Cheese?
Yeah, I just thought it was funny, the idea of a cheese dam.
I mean, it is funny. I'm not. It absolutely is.
No one's knocking the cheese ref.
Does the cheese dam stop the cheese, or is it made of cheese?
I think both. The answer is both.
Wow.
Just pop off the page A again, unless there's a D answer.
It's just A.
Alex, yeah.
Alex is here.
But when you're not here, Alex, Pete has a D answer. It involves like a lot of other elements. This chicken's crazy when you're not.
Oh, boy. All right. Sorry, or you're welcome. congratulations. You have won a gift card to Midtown Comics, the greater good. Shoot us an email at comicbookclublive@gmail.com, and we'll get that off to you. Pete, what is the secret movie that probably is Mortal Kombat that you were paying tribute?
No, I already gave a shout out to normal Mortal Kombat. It's weird you don't know how this works after all these years. I'm talking about, of course, the 2005 Oscar award winning drama Memoirs of a Geisha.
Great. And did we talk about you paid tribute to somebody who died and then shouted, "Finish him"? Is that
that role? Come on, weird. That it was. Yeah, well,
but
legendary.
Here's the thing: he did die from a Babe Allen. Yeah. It's tragic.
Oh god, but so sad.
It's sad.
We're laughing, but it's he sad. Did incredible work. Rest but in peace.
R.I.P. Baby.
Anyway, as we all know, new comic books are coming out all the time. We're looking forward to the ones that are coming out tomorrow. Pete, what are you looking forward to that's going to be in comic book shops upon tomorrow?
You both are probably surprised to hear this, but I'm looking forward to Wrestle Heist number 2.
Wow.
Unbelievable kind of vibe and look to it. I love the story. It's definitely worth checking out. Also, not surprisingly, I'm looking forward to Absolute Batman number 16 and Absolute Wonder Woman number 16. It's absolutely phenomenal, those comics. So definitely check those out.
Pete, Justin, what about you?
I'm looking forward to, I will name two comics that I'm looking forward to. Feral number 20 our guy Tony Fleece, art by Trish Fornster and Tone Rodriguez. Man, that comic is good. They've been able to tell a whimsically drawn but very dark zombie story where all the main characters are cute pets. But I got to also shout out Bug Wars the Spider Witch special number 1. Oh, I've loved all things Bug Wars, and the fact that this special is coming out, we're bridging the time between the first Bug Wars series and what's coming next. The mythology that Jason Aaron has carved in this world, all taking place in the backyard, is really exciting. Love it.
And you probably know this already, but they're releasing a polybagged, not safe for work spider sex variant of that issue. Are you going to be picking that up in stores?
I don't always go to the comic book store, but when there's spider sex on the shelves, I'll be there. Wink! I think I am going to pick that up, actually.
Oh, man.
Alex is so turned on, he froze.
He froze. In excitement.
He literally froze. That's anytime hilarious. That's very fun. Alex, what are you looking forward to?
Bug Wars.
Nothing. Alex hates comics.
Alex, yeah, say nothing if you're an asshole. I knew it this whole time.
That's fucked up. Oh, no. He's writing, oh, no, all across the comments. It's a bummer because Alex is the one who closes out the show, which is all that we have left to do.
Yeah.
But how about this? I will.
Oh, am I back?
How about this? Look,
there you go.
Justin was just going to close it out.
Yeah. All right. I'll try to do this quickly before it cuts me off again. I don't even know what happened there, but I'm looking forward to Iron Man number 1, Joshua Williamson crossing over from DC to Marvel. That's interesting. Also, shout out to Spirit of the Shadows number 1 from OD Press.
Yeah.
This is a absolutely wild book. I had a chance to read this a while back, and it is, if you like Jack Kirby stuff mixed with spooky mystery stuff, I think this is one to check out. It looks like nothing else on the stands. And the last one that I'm looking forward to is DC KO, The Kids Are All Fight Special. These spinoffs have been very fun. And that's a good tee up to mention that next week on the show, we're going to have Jeremy Adams, the writer, is going to be here to talk about DC's Aquaman, Green Lantern, that issue. And also the upcoming DCKO boss battle, which is going to bring in the Mortal Kombat characters, among others, to fight the DC Universe characters. So that should be pretty crazy. Not those books I just mentioned, but all the books that are coming out tomorrow are going to be in our Stack podcast Wednesday, 9 a.m. in the Stack feed and the Comic Book Club feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show.
Woo-hoo!
Thank you all for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in for this special episode. And thank you for offering up your own picks for your favorite and maybe some least favorite as well Marvel shows. I had fun doing this. I'm sure we will do something like this again, maybe even with animated shows, so Pete can come up with that.
But I've already covered that area.
Yeah, oh, we have. Barely. We've covered that.
It's in your old man section.
Comic Book Club News, our daily news podcast, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m., 6 a.m. in its own feed. Also, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Support this show and get ad-free versions of all of our shows. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple, Android, Spotify, or the app of your choice. Comic Book Club on Blue Sky. Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. ComicBookClubLive.com. For this podcast and many more, until next time, we'll see you at the Comic Book Club.
Good night, everybody.
Take care of yourself.
Structure.
Structure.
Comic Book Club. Comic Book Club. They sit on crappy couches and they let the secrets leak. An occasion of the day, let that special guest speak. So grab your grin.
The new year is the perfect moment to set your family up for success, including finding a school that finally fits the way your child learns. Introducing K-12 Powered Schools, tuition-free, accredited online public schools for grades K through 12. With K-12, students move at their own pace, with state-certified teachers who bring lessons to life through interactive, hands-on technology. If your child needs a school that adapts to them, K-12 can help unlock their full potential. Learn more at k12.com/podcast.